We want to be people who are preparing for the arrival of the Lord Jesus Christ, not just in history, but every day. And not just every day, but also recognizing He's coming again in a powerful way. So we want to be people prepared. So would you prepare your hearts in prayer with me? Lord God Almighty, we are so amazed that You, the One who rules everything, would choose to humble Yourself and come and be amongst us, God with us, to take on flesh, to go through the process of development as a baby and birth, and then full dependence upon parents caring for You for years. And then to humble Yourself enough to go to the cross, to give Your life, to shed Your blood, to let Your body be broken, to go through death and the grave. Lord, we're amazed. And we recognize, Lord, that so oftentimes we get so distracted by the things that are swirling around us in the moments that we forget the deeper truths about who You are and what You've done. So today, prepare us. And we invite You to remove that which needs to be removed so there's room for You. Open our hearts, open our minds, open our spirits, open our ability to receive from You. We ask in Jesus' name. And we take authority over this time together in the name of Jesus Christ. And we silence the enemy. We break his distractions and his schemes. And we declare this to be a place of encountering the manifest presence of Christ for the glory of God. Amen. Well, I want you to know I have good news for you. I encourage you to be people of hope. Jesus is coming. For years, the Israelites were in what was called a season of darkness, a season of silence. Some scholars have called the time period between the last book of the Old Testament being written and the beginning of the New Testament being written the 400 years of silence. Now, we know God was at work. We know God was ruling from on high. We know God was doing things in people's lives. But we don't really have any recorded record of that period of time. It was a period of waiting. And so this Advent season that we have every year as we lead up to Christmas is also a season of waiting. As we think about the arrival of Christ in history, and as we look for His ongoing arrival in our day-to-day experience, and as we long for His arrival in His second coming, it's a season of preparing our hearts through waiting. And we wait with hope. We wait with anticipation. Last week we talked about we wait with eyes alert, looking for what God is doing, looking for God's coming, looking for what God is doing on a daily basis. And so we are alert in that way. Today I want to encourage you to be preparing your hearts for the arrival of Christ through repentance. Repentance. Now that's a word that's not used often in our day-to-day secular vocabulary, but it's a crucial word for us, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance. Repentance. It's a key word for you and I. And I want to invite you to humble yourself enough to grasp this word, to understand this concept, and to live it out. To live out being people of repentance. We're going to look at John the Baptist and his preparatory work, how he prepared the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was born before Jesus Christ was born. He was a cousin of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he began his ministry, it was a ministry of repentance. Reading from Matthew chapter 3, starting at verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea this message: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he, John the Baptist, saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to the baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not presume to say to yourselves, 'Well, we have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." It's not too often now in churches across Western Hemisphere, the Western societies, that you hear a message on repentance. In fact, in most circles that call themselves Christian, you'll hear only about how we need to have faith, we need to believe. But let me warn you, the ignoring of repentance is the ignoring of the path to salvation. Faith without belief is, or faith without repentance, or belief without repentance is not real faith and not real belief. You cannot separate repentance and faith. How is a person saved? Repent and believe. The two go together. So what is repentance? Why is John, who's preparing the way for the Lord Jesus Christ's ministry, called to have a ministry of repentance? It's because people in history, and people today, and people like you and me, are unable to express and give out faith without first going through the emptying of themselves through repentance. Repentance is crucial for our walk with Christ. Repentance is crucial for our salvation. Repentance is the key to understanding and responding and receiving what God has for us. This is a picture that came to mind. See if this helps. Think of a man who's walking along through the jungle and suddenly finds himself falling over a cliff. And in his desperation and in his tumbles, he's able to latch onto a small vine. The vine is weak, the roots are not in the ground strong, and the vine is fraying and shredding even as his weight is pulling on that vine. Rescuers hear of his predicament and come to him, and they throw over to him, over the cliff, a large, strong rope, and they call out to him, "Trust in the rope." But if the man never lets go of the vine, he can never grab the rope. Repentance is the act of letting go so that you're able to grab a hold. Repentance occurs at the beginning of a person's life in Christ as they let go of self and other worldly methods of seeking after a salvation experience. Repentance occurs moment by moment throughout the life of a person as they're walking on this journey with Christ. And repentance is the thing that takes place as one ends their life and comes to that point in time when they recognize anything else they clung to, anything else they were hanging on to, anything else that they were trusting is way too inferior to the grabbing a hold of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is grabbing a hold of Christ. Repentance is letting go of anything else you've been trusting in. My friends, repentance is crucial for our relationship with Christ. Repentance is crucial for entering into eternal life with the Lord Jesus Christ. Have we become people of repentance? A.W. Tozer wrote this paragraph. "When people find that after being in the church for years, they're not making much progress, they ought to examine themselves and wonder whether they have been truly converted. True conversion means radical repentance, a changed life, conscious forgiveness of sin, and a spiritual rebirth. Genuinely converted people, as the old Methodists used to say, had a radical repentance which eventuated in a changed life. Radical repentance. Radical repentance. John Piper wrote this about repentance and our experience of God. He says, worship, the worship experience we go through on Sundays or throughout the week, worship will inevitably become weak and empty form and ritual if we try to keep on with it while our hearts are running after other gods. Have you been in church and it just was empty? Have you gone through a worship service and it seemed like your heart never really connected with your Creator? Have you gone through the motions and it seems like there was no manifest presence of Christ that was recognized and responded to? If that's happened to you, like it has happened to me, then maybe the problem in our hearts is that there's other gods, other things, other activities, other beliefs and other values, other relationships that have gotten in the way, clogged things up, filled up our hands. So God is calling us to be people of repentance. Piper went on to say, God will gladly take the dirtiest sinner. God will gladly take the dirtiest sinner into his arms on Sunday morning if he comes with a broken and contrite heart, intent on forsaking all known sin and trusting in Jesus alone for cleansing. But God will not be mocked by those who make like they love him, but yet willfully break his law during the week. So the act of preparation to worship God is to confess and renounce all known sin and to come to worship cleansed by the blood of Jesus and resting his forgiveness and his hope. See, we have great hope. Jesus has come as a baby, has died on the cross in our place, was raised victorious, does reign on high, and is currently ministering to us by his Spirit. He is actively at work calling us to turn from stuff and turn towards him. He's actively at work inviting us to repent and believe. Repent and believe. So let's be people who repent and believe. Believe, maybe that comes easier for some. You recognize the truths about who Christ is and what he's done. You recognize the need to have a personal relationship. You make that part of your value system, so you put your belief in him. But until you've repented, there's no room for that belief to have its effect in your life. So don't rush into believing until the repenting has also taken place. Repenting is saying, I'm not going to trust my efforts to make myself holy. I'm not going to trust in my going to church to make me have the title of being Christian. I'm not going to trust in my ancestry, no matter how good a Norwegian my mother was. I'm going to trust in the fact that I've let go of all other gods. I've repented of everything holding me back so I might fully grasp the Lord Jesus Christ. We repent and we believe. We let go and we grab. We empty and we get filled. Next hour, we're going to have our Christmas program, and we're going to celebrate the arrival of Christ. And there is a little baby here representing Jesus Christ. I watched a video this week of a Christmas program where one of the little girls, probably about three, was dressed up as a lammy. And while the kids were singing off on the stage platform to the side, and the few were right around the manger area, that lammy got a little interested in the baby. And since they weren't needing to be the center of attention, she assumed, she got up and grabbed baby Jesus and started dancing on the stage with baby Jesus as I'm sure everybody else was watching the singers. But the Mary figure, the little girl playing Mary, she knew that wasn't what's supposed to happen. Lambs aren't supposed to dance with the baby Jesus. So she got up to wrestle Jesus away from her, and a little tussle occurred on stage, fighting over Jesus. Who was going to be in charge of Jesus? Maybe you've been a little lamb sitting on the sides watching Jesus. And it's time to get up. It's time to engage. It's time to take action. It's time to repent of anything holding you back and grab a hold of Jesus. Maybe dance with him. as you live out a love relationship with Him, as you enjoy the fact that He's come to rescue you from everything that held you back, repent and believe. Let go and grab hold. What do you need to let go of? What do you need to let go of? As I ask that question of myself and of you this in anticipating this morning together, as I thought about it during the week, so many different things came to mind of what is clogging up our lives, of things that need to be let go of. And of course, you right away in repentance think about sin. Sinful things need to be repented of. The process of repentance is an internal process of thinking things clearly, of recognizing something is contrary to God's will and perfection. It's a mental process of saying, I know I shouldn't have that in my life. And then turning that into a prayer, saying, God, I am yielding that to you. Confession is part of it. Lord, those greedy thoughts, those selfish thoughts, those immoral thoughts, those thoughts of hatred, those thoughts of discouragement, those thoughts of fear, those are contrary to your perfection, and I choose to admit that. But after the admitting of it to God, there's a turning away from it that's an internal act that has an external impact. As you say, I'm letting go of something, then you walk out that process of having let it go. If you go through the internal steps of what I've described here, of this repentance process of admitting and confessing and internally turning, but never walk it out, then you have to ask, was it real repentance? And I think the reality of it is that there is a lot of shallow, ineffective, incomplete repentance within Christendom, within you, and within me. Real repentance starts in the inside and then affects the outside. I will live differently after repenting. If a sin is continuing to plague you, you need to repent. You admit it's wrong. You confess it's wrong. You ask God to cleanse you of it, and He does. He's the forgiver of sin. And then you walk out the steps of obeying God and saying, that's no longer going to be part of my pattern. If there's no decrease in that sin, we need to talk about whether repentance was real and whether it really happened. Now, here's the promise of God. He's the one that comes to help you repent. He's the one that calls you into repentance. He's the one that allows it to be real and effective in your life. If repentance is not occurring, the part of the solution is to say, God, help me repent. And He loves to answer that prayer. Sometimes we need a person to come alongside and help us. One of the things that's plaguing us in modern Christendom is our isolationism, where we think, I've got to tough this out on my own. I've got to be the man that does this all on my own, or the woman that thinks, I can't let this one out. No one can know about this aspect of what I'm struggling with. And when you do that, when you shroud your struggles in secrecy, you give them greater power. But when you tear off the curtains and you say to God and then others, I need help turning from this stuff I've been hanging on to, then the Holy Spirit comes in like a wild tempest of wind, blowing away the things that the enemy has been doing and blowing away the deception and enabling you to see what God is doing in your life and to trust His word and apply His truths so that the power of sin can be broken. Repentance happens as God births it in us, empowers it in us, and enables us to walk it out. And sometimes you need a friend beside you in that journey. So I invite you to be corporately repenting. Trust God and to trust somebody. To trust the Savior and to trust His body, the church. In other words, to be people of repentance, we need one another. We need a friend. And I wonder how many of you heard in your inner ear as I said that statement, this lie from the enemy. But I ain't got no friend. I don't have a person that I trust at that deep a level. I don't have anybody that I can trust with the deep struggles. If I open up about this, I'm going to be excluded. I'm going to be shunned. No one's going to want to be around me. If I admit that I've been walking out a fake exterior, if I admit that there are struggles on the inside no one knows about, and this smile that's plastered on the outside isn't the real me, then you fear that you're never going to have the trust of the people around you ever again. It's a lie of the enemy, I want you to know. God calls us to repentance, and that repentance is a personal thing between you and God, and a corporate thing that happens amongst us as we live out repentance together. And God has not abandoned you himself, and he's not abandoned you by the church. Now, I'll admit something. You can't trust everybody in the church. Isn't that a big surprise? Because we're all weak and we're all sin-ravaged ourselves. But there is a person for each and every one of us. There's a person that God has appointed to be your friend, your confidant, your repentance partner. And as you seek God to help you repent, add into that prayer, Lord, help me find the person to help me here on earth as you have helped me in heaven. See, what we're talking about is the true essence of real Christianity. We repent and we believe. John the Baptist was preparing the way for Jesus, and it was the central part of his message. And when Jesus begins his ministry, do you think he changed the theme? He didn't. Matthew 4:17 says, after the baptism of Jesus, after the trials and the temptations of Jesus in the wilderness, Matthew 4:17, from that time forward, Jesus began to preach, and he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The same message. And after Jesus died in our place on the cross, after he conquered death and the grave, after he rose and now reigns in heaven, and the church was birthed on Pentecost Sunday, Peter stood up to preach. And as Peter stood up to preach, do you think he preached a different message? Acts 2:38 records that first sermon of the first church where Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, it's repentance. Repentance and faith as two sides of the same coin. See, I think God is preparing your heart to be a heart that's repenting, that has repented the beginning of your Christian life, is continuing to repent each and every day, all the way to the very end. He's preparing your heart. Came across this story. It goes all the way back to 1973. Belmont Stakes. I don't know if it's appropriate to talk about horse racing in the middle of a sermon, but here goes. 1973, there was a horse unlike any other horse. They called it Secretariat. And as an example of a prepared heart, Secretariat ran what they call the greatest race ever run. Belmont Stakes, 1973, he won the race by 31 lengths, unheard of victory margin. The feat had never before or since been achieved. After Secretariat's death, an autopsy was performed, and the mystery of the great champion was revealed. The veterinarians discovered that Secretariat had a heart 2.5 times larger than the average horse. 2.5 times larger heart. 22-pound heart. What God gave a horse in terms of a super large heart, God wants to do in each and every one of us, and supernaturally prepare your heart to respond to him. If your heart seems small and shriveled today, I invite you to today pray with me for an enlarged heart, a healthy, enlarged heart, a heart that's able to repent and believe, let go and grab hold. Will you pray with me? Lord God Almighty, we know you call us to respond to you. And so would you do a work inside of our hearts right now? Would you enlarge the capacity of each and every one of our hearts? Would you give us the ability, Lord, to trust you so much that we're able, not just willing, but able to let go of the things that have held us back and clogged up our lives? We choose today by faith in you to repent, to let go of sin, to let go of stuff, to let go of busyness and distractions, to let go of stuff it's been there for years holding us back. By faith, right now, Lord, we repent and we ask you to cut the chains and cut the ropes and cut the things that have ensnared us and tied us up. We invite you to allow us to repent so that we're opened up to you. And then, Lord, would you fill us with faith? We recognize faith as a gift from you. Fill us with faith and a hope that is sure, that we know that you are our Savior. We know that you have done all that's necessary for our sin problem to be cured. We place our faith and trust in you, our hope in you. We grab a hold of you, for you are strong and you are mighty. We thank you for enabling us to repent and believe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.